Up next on JusticeFound.org, Roland Washington and guest interviewers Ronisha Johnson, Ebony Branner, and Rima Calloway interview Jackie Wright. They also get a chance to interview Carl Lumbly about Charles Burnett's film, Namibia, The Struggle for Liberation. Today on the Worker Justice Talk, they get a chance to talk with Jackie about her career, and then they also get to spend some time talking about this very important film, Namibia. This is David Kordsmeyer from the Justice Foundation, and I'm excited to bring you another edition of the Worker Justice Talk with the host, Roland Washington.
Well, what we'll do is we'll go on and start. We have Carl Lumbly on the line, and we will figure out our technical difficulties. So right at the moment, Jackie and Ronisha, let's get this going, and we'll figure this out.
I guess you always have to be ready to go, no matter what. I'm expecting that it's going to be Carl Lumbly first. Okay.
Well, I was wondering, can you just give, you know, San Francisco a little bit of your background and how you got to where you are today?
Wow. Okay, that's going to take the entire show, but I'll try to leave 5 minutes for Carl. I've been in the Bay Area since 1990, and I came here from Georgia. I was in a small town called Athens. I was working as a radio station at the time, copywriter, and came here with about 10 years experience in media at the time. I had previously been a weather girl for TV. I had been a reporter on television. I had been a cameraman. And of course, Ebony, you corrected me, right, to say that I should say that I am a camera person as opposed to a cameraman. But I
camera woman.
Yeah, I am camera woman too. Rima? Oh, okay. All right. So I had that various experience having done television, radio. I wrote for radio news, and I wrote television news. I wrote commercials for radio, and so that's kind of the background experience that I had, you know, prior to coming here in 1990, and the first job I landed was in nonprofit as opposed to media. So that started me on an entire new road.
Yeah, I think with I always hear that the media is in desperate need of, you know, African Americans and especially women. So I think everything that you have done has sort of been an inspiration to us. We want to, you know, major in journalism and media and things like that. So I was wondering, when you were around our age, were there any women or any figures that, you know, had significant value to you that inspired you also?
You know, it's interesting that you should say that. First of all, I must commend Roland Washington for working with you guys.
Of course.
And everything. You know, it's just marvelous because I certainly did not have that kind of opportunity, you know, when I was that age. When I was growing up in Columbus, Georgia, and I
Carl, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Finally.
Hello.
Hi, Carl.
Hi, Jackie. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hi, Mr. Lumbly.
Hello,
this is Ronisha. Yes.
Hi, good to hear you. And Rima and who else is there now?
Ebony. Hi, Mr. Lumbly.
Okay.
Hey.
How are you doing? I think maybe for purposes of everything you can say, Carl. But though I'm glad to see you have the brought up to use the honorific.
How did I do as a stand-in for you for those few moments? This is Jackie.
Okay.
Oh, Mr. Lumbly, well, Carl, I apologize. Recently we heard about your movie Namibia and your role in it. So my first question to you was, I was aware that you worked with Danny Glover and Charles Burnett and Ed Santiago. So I was wondering, what was it like working with these, you know, these great men?
Well, you know, one of the first things is that because this isn't the first time that I've worked with them, I've had the opportunity to do it before, and I've seen what they do. And I think part of their greatness is not only in what they accomplish, but what their intention is. Charles is a filmmaker, I think, from the first project I ever did with him. He's always trying to look for those things about our world and about humanity, but particularly about black people, things that are of value that we maybe used to do or still do, but don't do as much as we could, and that we don't recognize about ourselves. And to put those things in a film so that as many of us and others can see those things and realize the value in them. So it's always a tremendous pleasure, and it's always a terrific learning experience, because I know if they're working on something, it's going to be of value.
Okay. And my next question also is, we're aware that your character in the movie, I was wondering, did you have any qualities that, you know, that you felt like you and the character shared?
Yes and no. I had the benefit of having a tremendous family life, like Sam Nioma did, and a connection to it. A lot of my elders told me stories about my mother and my father and our ancestors, things that made me proud as a young man. Sam Nioma had that as well. I have never called upon to be, I've never been called on to be as courageous as Sam Nioma. And I, and as many of the Namibian youth who put this independence movement forward and went out and claimed their nationhood had to be. I don't know if I have that kind of courage in me, and I guess I feel like the difference between the two of us is I've never been called upon to have to be that courageous. Sam Nioma was like me a lot in that, like most boys, he liked sports. He loved education, reading, and he loved his family, but because of the situation he was in, he couldn't just enjoy those things the way I was able to as I was coming up. He had to take a stand, he had to make a sacrifice, and in his case, he left his own country as a young man, as many young Namibians did, many of them even younger than the three of you, and went out to first tell people about their situation, and secondly, to bring about the change that they felt was necessary to make them a nation, to kick massive power in South Africa out of their country. South Africa had taken claim of the country illegally, and they said, we won't have it. And they said additionally, it would be better to die and to live under these conditions. So in that way, I will never know maybe what Sam Nioma and these brave Namibians were like. But in playing the film, I got an opportunity to at least get a sense of it and to meet many of them.
So I was also wondering, when you had to, before you started the film, did you have to research Africa and things like that?
Yes, I had to do a tremendous amount of research, which is something that I do whenever I approach any role, but I think in part because Africa is so much more than what we have normally seen it as being from our perspective in this country. You really have to do a lot more source work. You have to try and find people who are African and find books written by Africans and really involve yourself in learning the truth of what took place. I think very often the truth of Africa has been obscured by our own legacy of slavery. The diaspora split us off so much that I think researching about Africa is about trying to put yourself back in a place where you feel a connection. And to play the president of Namibia, that's what I really wanted to do. I really wanted to feel like a son of Africa who was trying to bring about the reuniting of his people with their land. So I did a lot of research. But, you know, for me, research is fun, and I think it doesn't feel as much like work for me because I feel like every day is an opportunity to research, especially where our history is concerned.
Yeah.
Hi, Carl. This is Ebony, and I heard you say you haven't been told that you're a courageous man, and I can say from the looks of your background report, you are a courageous man and a very empowered man because you have done a lot of great things. And my question for you is, do you think it's good for African Americans to learn about their struggling roots outside the basics of slavery?
Well, thank you for those kind words, Ebony. And yes, I do think it's vital. You know, one of the things about this particular story in Namibia is that maybe when I was 15, 16, 17 years old, I didn't believe that my efforts or the efforts of my generation could necessarily bring about any kind of substantive change in the world. And when you read the history of our people, very often you read about the efforts of younger people. And I have come to a point where I believe that very often the things that people do that really bring about change can sometimes only be done by young people. Sometimes we older people, and it's hard for me to use that phrase, but we get ourselves in a place where we believe we already know the answers. And especially, I think, as black people, in witnessing our history and looking even at slavery, there's a part of us that feels that that particular legacy can never really be completely overcome, that the power in America does belong with a white majority, and even the fact that the demographic is changing and white people will no longer be the majority in the country doesn't always make us think that anything can be affected. Young people approach life, I think, from the standpoint of, well, what are the questions, and if I have a question, I want to get the answer myself. I think sometimes those of us who are older say, well, I have a question, but I kind of think the answer is going to be no. And I think if there's anything that the youth can offer us in their rebellious nature, which I sometimes want to quell in my own son, but which I think is vital, is that there's no question that you shouldn't ask. And until you get an answer that's satisfactory for you, you need to keep asking that question.
I agree with all of that. And one more question I have, you know, on the opposite side of things. I know youth should rebel and grow as black people. But on the other hand, you know, where we have all this black-on-black crime and oppression on one another, what significance do you think this movie plays in the society now as far as the youth?
Well, I think that's a wonderful question, and I would say that one of the things that I was very surprised by is when you look at a movement for independence and unity, you just make the assumption that everyone goes along with it, but so often those people who see people uniting, they often think of ways keep that unity from happening, and one of the best ways to do that is to begin dividing people, either on the basis of you're light and you're dark, or you're well-educated and you're undereducated, or you're middle class and you're underclass. And all of these things are basically illusion. Truth comes when people are together. You can think about someone who you don't know, and you can imagine all kinds of behaviors and attitudes, but when you look someone in the face and you ask them a question, and you look in their eyes as they give the answer, or when you ask them why they did something and they inform you about circumstances that you could never imagine, but you can see the truth of what they're saying, you realize that the distance isn't that great between you. I think we have black-on-black crime because we're buying into certain things. We're buying into a more material way of looking at the world where what you have defines who you are and your status in the world, rather than some of the things that used to be the foundation of us as a people, that we had one another, that there was no one who was disposable among us, that no matter how crazy someone behaved. We understood at a basic level what it was they were about and what they were asking for. So I can't make the determination that someone who is out there on a street corner selling drugs is doing it because they want to bring about the complete destruction of our people. They are simply doing what they know to do to make a way. And if we really love those people, we can condemn their action, but we can never condemn them or try and throw them out as people. We have to try and reach them. And there are people in the community who are doing that. But I believe that what this movie is saying is that it is not easy, and that sometimes the more impossible it looks, the greater the opportunity for it to take place if you keep chipping away at it step by step. I don't think Namibia achieved its independence because there was a sudden rush by a great number of people who believed they knew what they were doing. It achieved its independence because there were single steps taken by people who weren't always sure of where what the final destination would be, but they knew that each step of the journey was honestly intended to bring about something good for someone other than themselves. And I think that that quality of selflessness used to be a much larger part of who we were, and it's something that I think this film encourages us to think about and to put back into our lives. I know that the experience of doing it for me was life-changing. And that it, in many ways, redefines what I think of as heroes and villains. And I have tried to commit myself to not being told by anyone else who is a hero or who is a villain, to try and make my own determination. And for that, education is key. And doing what you're doing right now is vital, which is a voice and listening to other voices.
Thank you.
Hi, Carl. This is Rima speaking, and I have a question for you.
Yes, Rima.
What character trait inspired you to take the role as Samuel instead of the role of the religious man that Danny Glover played?
Well, I'm going to be honest. Charles asked me to do the role of Naoma, and anything Charles asked me to do, I try and do. But and it was his determination that that was a role that I could play. So I guess I tried to find the character traits in Naoma that I felt I could attach myself to. But I would like to say something about the role that Danny played, in that I don't know that I would consider myself the most religious of men. But I do feel that spirituality has been a foundation in my life. And that my connection to my feeling about God is foundational. However, sometimes people get so tied up in their denomination or in their particular vision of how heaven will be achieved or in their belief that the language with which they speak to God is the only language that he hears, that they shut themselves away from other people, that they make these divisions that allow them to feel extra special. And while that isn't the character that Danny illuminated in his playing of the father, that is the position that I believe organized religion sometimes takes. And I don't spare anyone. I think that, you know, there is this, no matter what is stated in the doctrine, sometimes the dogma can take people over, and that all of this is about achieving a true harmony and true love, and anything that doesn't contribute to that is something that should be suspect. So the heroism that the father showed in this film is that despite what his church said and despite its inaction, he, as a man of God, had to take the action that he could. So at one point in the film, there are people who come to him for sanctuary, and his church would say, turn those people away. But because of his belief, his faith, and his personal knowledge of God's desire, he doesn't turn them away. So if if I couldn't have played Neoma, I would have been happy to play the father. But that was just the way it shook down. And I tell you, Danny Glover is a magnificent human being. And if I'm being honest, I would probably say he has more traits in common with a courageous religious leader than I do. And I'm not trying to be self-deprecating. I think a lot of myself. But I also know when you look around the world, you see people who inspire you.
So my question, you leaving us with that, my question is, who inspired you? How are you inspired?
Well, I would say first my father, because my dad was an amazing man who came to this country from Jamaica at a time when everybody wanted to come here. But as black people, when you came here, you did not always get a welcome wagon unless it was taking you to a lynching rope. So my dad has always been a massive inspiration to me. But I'll tell you, as a professional, Charles Burnett, Ed Santiago, John Depps, many of the men who worked on this particular project are inspirational to me. I think they're exemplary individuals because Charles, I will say, is a man who, if he did not have the kind of integrity that he has, he might choose to do this another way. He probably would be a richer man, but because of who he is, he has remained true to his idea of being a true artist, about trying to do things that he feels are not only pretty, which I think the film is, but important, which I think overall is what the film is and every project I've ever worked with him on. That's what he's done. And the other side of Charles is that he's a very humble individual. So he's not doing these things for us to say, what a great man. And that's what makes him great.
Well, Mr. Lumley, we just want to tell you thank you so much for calling in and giving us your insights on the movie. So I think that's a wrap.
Well, thank you. And I must say, I am inspired by people like yourself, young people who are trying to make a voice and make a way. So thank you for letting me call it. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now more than ever, every small business has the opportunity to act and promote themselves like a big business using the internet. Come to RedTap. RedTap can help you get online and overcome some of the challenges of getting your business online. We can help you with e-marketing strategy, website design, and e-commerce site setup. Give us a call at area code 415-285-0585. We're located in the heart of the Mission District, and we speak to you in your language and help you get what you need online. For those of you who are new to computers, RedTap is an Apple authorized business agent. We can help you make your buying decision when it comes to getting into the world of computers. Why not start with the Macintosh? Go to http://redtap.com/apple to find out more about how RedTap can help you with your Apple purchasing decision.
You've been listening to the Worker Justice Talk podcast edition with Roland Washington. The Worker Justice Talk is a production of JusticeFound.org and RedTap. Most editions are recorded live at the studios of RedTap, located in the heart of the Mission District in San Francisco. The Worker Justice Talk is available online at JusticeFound.org and for download on iTunes. The post-production audio engineer was me, David J. Kortzmeyer. Join us next time for another edition of The Worker Justice Talk.